Thank you very much, worship leader. Good evening to everyone. We are grateful, in spite of all the sneezing and coughing. You know, God is a wonderful presence. Because the song we did today, this evening, I awake in the light, I awake, I am joyful, I am free. It goes with what we're going to talk about tonight. Because the soul yearned to be free from all the shenanigans of the world or of different incarnations. And in order for the soul to be free, which means you and I, in order for us to be free, the key to that is being peaceful. No one can be free when you are not at peace with yourself, when you don't have peace of mind. Because if you say you are free and then you are all wrapped up like, you know, because of worries, whatever it is, that's what we call freedom. It's not real. It's fake news. It's alternative news. Each and every one of us, we are fully engaged in building a spiritual consciousness. And that building, that temple that we're engaged in building, in the Bible, it's called the Temple of Solomon. And the word, the name Solomon means being peaceful. That's what it means. When I say I will Solomonize you, you're going to be very peaceful. My name is Solomon. That means I am peaceful. And we will find out in the scriptures of Judaism or the Old Testament of the Christians, in the book of First Chronicles, verse 22, chapter 22, verse 68. What does he say? David wants to build a place of worship, a temple for God, because he was God anointed, you know, the little shepherd boy who became king. He was so sure because things, and God said, no, David, you will not be building me any place of worship. And this is what 1 Chronicles 22, 6 to 8 said. You have shed blood abundantly and have made great wars. You shall not build a house in my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. It doesn't mean God stopped loving David. Just like whatever shenanigans we get ourselves into after God created us. It does. God never stopped loving us in spite of that. God just say, that's not how I created you. That's not me. You want to see me in my purity, the way I created you, then all those shenanigans have to go. Because in that verse, God tells David that he cannot build the house of worship for him because he has blood on his hands. Why does he have blood on his hands? And what does that mean? David was not a peaceful man. That's why his name is not Solomon. Because he killed a lot of people. David said, like for example, David sent Uriah, the husband of a woman he wanted to marry, to war to kill him. He also killed righteous non-Jews in his wars. He killed Jews during the war between David and King Saul, because King Saul wanted to want the head of David. And David was the best friend of Jonathan, King Saul's firstborn. Where he had to hide the hacking. So David was not the right person because he was a warrior. Because he had blood on his hand. Instead, God asked King Solomon, King David's son, who was a peaceful man, to build him his house of worship. Although you got to give it. Plenty of credit to King David. Why? Because he gathered everything together. He made sure all of those things were ready so that then when Solomon became king, it was able for him, because he was a peaceful man, to build the house of God. Because we cannot go contrary to who we are. God is not going to allow that because God is not God of war. War only happens when because we've disobeyed the ways of God. There would have been no war if everybody, including, if we go by the Bible, including Satan. Yeah, because he started the war up there. He was full of himself. He thought, yeah, I know all the tricks. So why would you want me to bow to these little people that you allow us to create with you? That is talking about the human. So I'm not doing that. Because he thought he knew everything. Am I not the one you choose to co-create here to do this, to give instructions to all the other archangels and angels? They call him what was that? The morning star. Before they sent him away, because he was full of himself. He was a very beautiful angel with all the radiance that God has allowed. So God is giving us an example there. We cannot live contrary to who we are. That purity, that peaceful soul that God created us with. And Solomon said, "The Lord has chosen to abide in a thick cloud." He's not talking about this cloud. That was just his way of saying the invisible God. He's present, although sometimes we don't know it. God is fully present in our life at all times in all things, even though sometimes we don't know it. We don't get it. The Lord has chosen to abide in a thick cloud. I have now built for you a stately house, a place where you may dwell forever. That's what Solomon was saying to the Jews when they wanted to open the temple, consecrate it. And whenever you hear peace or peaceful in the Bible symbolizes wisdom. Because God dwells in a peaceful environment. That's why we've all experienced it one way or the other. We find out when something is bothering us, when we are agitated, are we peaceful? No. We are stressed and all of that, and all of that. So one of the best prayers we can do for ourselves on a daily basis is to say, Lord, grant me peace of mind. And let me be filled with your joy. Be joyful. I am joyful, I am free. Peace of mind is called the hallmark of understanding. To seek peace and pursue it. That is Psalm 34, verse 14. Said to seek peace and pursue it is supreme wisdom, since it ensures the building of that spiritual consciousness. So any spiritual building we need to put together, that peace has to be there. It's the foundation, that peace of mind. And for us to be happy and to have any lasting success, if you want to be successful in life, you got to have peace of mind. That's the foundation. Because if you don't have peace of mind, you cannot even think straight. You can't act straight. You can't eat straight. People have been understand they can't eat, not because, and it's their favorite food. They can't eat. And around that spiritual temple building that we put, the Bible says there are five things to be found around it. One is gold. And these are symbology now. I will explain that. One is gold, one is silver, one is ivory. The other are apes. You know what apes are. Gorillas, bamboos, and the last is peacock. And if you want to get the details of that, go to the Old Testament, 1 Kings, chapter 10, verse 22. So, in the scriptural way, in the way they say it in the Bible, those five things represent five challenges, obstacles that can keep the soul from being free and from being joyful and from having that peace of mind, from living that spiritual life. Of course, the particular form that each of those we take varies according to your personality and character. But it's for everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're a pauper or you are rich. If you're going to get that freedom, live in that spiritual consciousness and all of that, you have to watch out for these five things. They will tell you they are your best friend, but they are not. Oh, they will do us in big time, and they enjoy it too. But we can't blame them because they are minding their own business. We went and looked for them. So comes the first is the gold, right? I'm sure some of us are thinking gold, okay. And that stands for the desire for personal power over other people. So whenever you hear gold in the Bible, it's always about power. The desire to regulate other people's lives. We're not talking about our lives. To make them toe the line. The line we said, okay. And even to make use of them. Parents do it, siblings do it, friends do it, teachers do it, you name it. Bosses do it. And that's what how we know we're blessed. When Spirit tells you, look, yeah, we know that is your child. But she has her own life to live. So don't put your own thing on her. I know what I'm talking about. And when Spirit says it, they say it in a way that you can't miss it, that I did not understand what we are saying here. And so for us to live in that spiritual consciousness and to build that, we need to listen and we need to be very aware that we're not trying to control other people for whatever reason. Because what does that mean? It means we are trying to control God. Because we tend to forget that individuals, those people, they are God. That's God reflecting in that individual form. And many people on the spiritual path have given way to this temptation, that gold. Want to dominate other people's soul. Why? You have not even dominated your own soul. Why do we need to dominate others? Yeah, it's okay as a parent to guide the children. But we need to be aware of their own personality and character and let them flourish. Isn't, you know, our parents did it to us. Although sometimes we didn't agree with the way they want us to go. Like, it's my life, I'll do whatever. And the irony of it is, when we're doing that, trying to control other people, that we say we're doing it for their own good, isn't it? Imagine a parent telling a child, oh, you can't achieve that, you can't achieve that. I'm just telling you for your own good so that you don't get disappointed. When did God die and make that parent God? Or a teacher, or a boss, or somebody in charge of something. Oh, you can't sing, don't leave your day job. And we find that there are people they said that to, and they made it, didn't they? If they had listened, they wouldn't, you know. When we're doing that, we need to realize that it is a craving for personal power. And whenever you have that craving for that power to be in charge, to be, you are going against your soul. It's a big trap. It's a big distraction. And it's very common on the spiritual path. Especially if God has designated you, okay, I want you to teach others, share what I want to, you know, God is using you as a pure child. And God is using every one of us. No teacher has it all. Or else that what do, then we don't need God. So even when you're a student, even when you are learning, even then, you know, never forget the God in you. And whenever we crave for power, we want to be, oh, arankade, to glorify. It's about glorification, isn't it? I want to be president. I want to be governor. I want to be, I want to be Supreme Court justice. Sometimes I say to the Lord, why do you even allow this thing to happen? Imagine nine people making decisions of 200 and 300 million people. How wise can they be? And they think they are wise. It doesn't matter what party they belong to. I'm thinking, who allowed that? Even the 400 and something made decision for 300. I'm talking about Congress now. And we know they can be foolish. And they say we're doing it for the American people. And the last time I checked, it's like, no, they're not doing it for me. They said, we're not talking about you, American, with an accent. I said, okay then. And that's the reason God didn't want, from the word go, God didn't want anyone to govern us. He didn't want any king, they didn't want any president, but no, we refuse. Wanted somebody like that one person has the divine wisdom of God. Nobody does. In the Bible, the craving for power is known as the Scarlet Woman of Babylon. We know what scarlet is, right? Red, and well, put the red in front of a bull, you know what's going to happen. But the true meaning of gold, what it symbolizes, the right thing that it symbolizes, when understood, is the omnipresence and availability of God. Of course, religious tyranny, oppression denies that. Why? Because there'll be no organization, there'll be no pope, there'll be no bishop. If we say the omnipresence of God, and that God is available and present to everyone, isn't that what Jesus tried to tell them and they killed him? So you don't need to go to the temple, you don't need to go to the mountain. God is here with you. And those priests, God help them. Why do you need to listen to them? Because they are saying, well, you are not one of our tribes, so you can't come there. I remember the story Yogananda talked about. A person of color in Arkansas who couldn't, who is not allowed into the temple. And he's crying, oh, I want to worship in there, but, and Jesus said, well, they wouldn't even let me in there. Because if they don't let you in there, that means they are denying me to be there. And the irony of it is, we think God is present in that church, isn't it? It is good to do everything we can to be a pure channel of God, to inspire, to help others, but not to try and rule them and govern their life, not to try and control them. The moment you get somebody who's trying to control your life, well, you better pray to God to kick that person out. Because they are not doing you or them any favor. And don't let anybody do that. I don't care if they say they are the best teacher in the world, the best spiritual, magical teacher. They wake up the dead. Then there comes silver. We've talked about gold now, right? And silver stands for greed of money. Or any material objects. There's nothing wrong in having money or living, but when we define ourselves by that, maybe I'm watching too many Hollywood movies, huh? Because people would do anything for money, isn't it? They would betray their friend. They will even kill if they think somebody would be an obstacle to them acquiring the money. Remember the oil pipeline that the Native Americans were protesting because it went through their ground? And some people don't care about that. Like, look, you are denying us, we need to produce oil and whatever else we are doing in this country that. Or where we've read or seen, where they may establish a company, say like electrical company, where the electromagnetic thing affects the people. But they won't put it where the wealthy and rich lives. But if those people complain, they say, no, it's not like that. Or the tanker that blew up in Ohio a long time, a few years ago. People are still suffering because of that fume. And they think by giving them maybe a million or two, that is it. So when we're talking about individuals, sometimes there are people who are not interested in acquiring money. But they want the position, the fame, and all of that. That is also what we call self. Because it takes you away from the purity of your soul. So silver and gold, they tend to go together. Like Peter said, gold and silver I have none, but what I have, in the name of Jesus, rise. Anytime God has not put us in a position of leadership, but we choose, we want to acquire that. Now you are eating the silver. That's the silver bullet, because you want to control. You want to be famous. Now comes ivory. And we're not saying you should go and kill elephants to take the ivory from them. Ivory stands for undue attachment. Maybe undue attachment to a book, to a way of life, to a teacher, whatever it is. And then ape or apes stands for anything that is sensual. Could be drugs. It could be getting drunk, drinks. Anytime we're addicted to something, any form of addiction, That's what they call apes. People get addicted to food because usually it's easy to point fingers at drugs and drinks and all of that. At least the only thing good, we're not good. The only thing, at least about that, is that people are addicted. Sooner or later, they know that they're addicted, whether they are denying it before. So apes represent addiction. Any sensational part, any sensuous part that we're addicted to. And peacocks, we know what that stands for. Vanity. And it may take the form of intellectual pride. I'm not talking to the likes of you. You are beneath me. They don't even have to say that word, but they start throwing big words and, you know. And it also includes spiritual pride. So, any of those five forms is a big obstacle to building the spiritual temple, to being liberated. Gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacock. So, I'm going to round these up with a story of one of these things so that we can watch out for it. One, a political leader heard about a saint. So he decided to visit that saint to see why people praise the saint so much. When he went to that ashram, he saw that there was a small room where the carpet was spread, you know, because you know, so that people can sit and listen to satsang. And some people were sitting on the carpet. The saint was sitting in front of them. People were asking questions, and the saint was answering them. And of course, Mr. Big Shot came into the ashram with four of his bodyguards, you know, with his bodyguards. And he's so used to wherever he goes, right? Oh, the moment people say, oh, it's the president of the United States, oh, it's the governor, it's the this, or it's the richest person, whatever it is. And people will stand up for him, you know. Fold their hands and bow before him, a form of respect. But this time, nothing like this happened here. The saint, being busy, didn't even look at him because he's busy answering the, you know. Oh, this big shot felt insulted and angry. He interrupted the saint and said, I want to tell you something. We've seen when there are protests, sometimes the president is giving a news conference, right? Somebody say, hey, you know, and everybody looks like, what's wrong with you? Even the Secret Service might want to grab you, like, you know. So he went to the, I want to tell you something, interrupting the saint. Saint looked at him and said, wait for a while. First, I need to answer this question, and I will talk to you, you know, once I'm done with it. So you need to wait for your turn. If you want, you can sit on that carpet. Oh my God. The saint has done the worst thing in planet Earth. Before the leader was talking politely to the saint, I want to ask you a question. But now, after the response of the saint, he started shouting, "Do you know who I am? Who are you talking to?" The saint looked at him and said, "Whoever you are, if you want me to answer your question or talk to you, then you have to wait for a while. Wait for your turn." Maybe it doesn't happen that much here, but if we go to other countries, can you imagine telling Putin to wait for, Oh, that's the end of that saying, isn't it? Now, the big boss, Mr. Big Shot, went mad and said, "Whether you want to listen or not, but I will tell you in front of everyone what I think about you. You are not a saint. You are a hypocrite. You are fooling all people sitting here. You have only one motive, that is to take money from these people and make it yours. You are using people for your own benefit, and I am not going to leave you now. I will expose you in front of the whole world." Even after the saint listened to all of that, there was a smile on his face. Now, even that makes the leader very more furious and said, "Enough is enough. I will not stay here for 1 minute anymore." And he said, "Saint, but you still have a chance to apologize to me." Despite all of that, the saint was calm and smiling. He folded his hands and said, "I have no grudge against you, Momo. I don't have any bad thought about you, Marian. Whatever you said about me, in your own opinion, Ray, I don't see anything wrong in you. You seem like a very good person to me. Did you see that? The contrast?" As soon as the saint said this, Mr. Bishop was very happy, because the saint has something good to say about him. As all people say, now he left the saint's ashram satisfied. Now, what was it the saint just said? Look, let's hear it again. "I have no grudge against you. I don't have any bad thought about you. Whatever you said about me is your own opinion. I don't see anything wrong in you." You see that? He liked that. "You seem like a very good person to me." So he left happy. He went home and met his father and told his father, probably told the father, everything that happened at the ashram. Our saint praised him. "I think you're a good person. There's nothing wrong with you." His father smiled and looked at him and said, "Huh. The saint didn't praise you." Because what he said was not about you, but reflection of himself. "And whatever you said to him was not about him, but reflection of yourself." We can either be the saint, or we can be the puff puff leader. Pride leads to what, Mama? Fall, to destruction. And that's why, of the five things, we must never be a peacock. Let the vanity go. Let's not seek for to be flattered. Let's not throw our weight around. Otherwise, it's an impediment to that spiritual consciousness, to that oneness of God. May the God bless us that we overcome and not play with those five obstacles to to purity of souls. Amen.
Amen.